right now, though, you're listening to Emma Britton. Time to launch Money May 2013. Every Tuesday in May, you'll be getting some top tips on how to manage your money from our resident money man, Dave Penny. Yes, that is his real name. He's the Managing Director of Invest Southwest, Independent Financial Advisors in Somerset. Dave will be making sure you know how to get and make the most of what you've got, and possibly how you can get some more cash in your pocket as well. Coming up over the next month, we're going to cover savings and investments, property and insurance. But today, we talk pensions. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Emma.
Where's a year gone?
I know, it's terrible. The sun is shining, though, isn't it?
I know. You've brought the sun with you. How's the money business going? Because for you, business is booming, isn't it?
Yeah, I refer to the old Chinese curse, which is, may you live in interesting times. Well, these are really interesting times. Things are changing rapidly, and of course that means that people have questions and queries about their finances. So for us, yes, we're very busy.
And also, the banks have changed the way in which they dispense financial advice, haven't they?
Yes, they've pretty much stopped doing it, Emma. You may recall in previous discussions, there's a big change in regulations in December of last year, which meant that advisors have to disclose all of their fees. They can't charge commission now for investment and pensions work. And the result is that the banks have pretty much pulled out of giving advice because they didn't feel they could make money that way, being open in the way that we're all forced to do now. So there's a big hole where there used to be advice and there now isn't. And for your listeners, I think that can be a real problem. Where do you go now to get advice? Whereas in the old days, somebody might knock on your door, the Allied Dunbar type people, or the Prudential Man, or you might go to your bank. They've all gone. It's just a hole. So, yeah, big changes in the world of finance.
Well, we're going to talk about pensions this week. So if you've got any questions about pensions that you want to put to Dave, then get in touch now. He's here until 11:30, 0845 303 1566 to call us or text the show 81333. Start your message with the word Somerset. Pensions is it's one of those topics, Dave, that sort of makes me want to go and take my head and put it in a bucket of sand because it just feels like, I don't know, it just feels too complicated to even start to contemplate. How important is it that someone has pension provision?
Well, earlier on this morning, Emma, talking about pensions, introducing this slot, you actually got a frog in your throat. You couldn't even...
Don't make me talk about pensions.
You couldn't even say it.
No,
it's so, couldn't. So where do we start with pensions? Was that your question?
Well, it's just about how important it is to have to make provision.
Well, I guess you need to think about how much of your money is left at the end of the month now, right now, whilst you're working, if you are working. If there isn't much, which for most people there isn't, you've spent your money at the end of the month.
Yep.
Well, think about when that earned income has stopped. Then what you would do without that? And the answer is you'd be in terrible trouble. So, you know, if you're before retirement age, then it's really important that you plan to make sure you will have an income in retirement. And if you are retired, there are measures that you can take as well to try and ease the burden of the bills.
I suppose some people will be listening this morning thinking, well, I will just be taken care of by the state pension, I suppose.
Yes, the state pension has been mooted to be £144 per week.
The new flat rate.
Yes. Yep. At the moment, the state pension is £110 per week, but with other bits and bobs attached to it. Mm. And various institutions consider that to be officially below the poverty line. So if you want to live absolutely scratching around and trying to make ends meet, then do nothing to plan for your retirement. Otherwise, you need to do something.
Okay, well, let's talk about then people who either are still working or maybe people who have got children or grandchildren who are working and they're trying to nag them to get a pension. Isn't there some kind of law now that you have to be in a workplace pension? Or
yes, there is what's known as auto-enrolment, sexily known as auto-enrolment, where the government is, good news really for all of your listeners, unless you're a business owner, is that whereas previously the people who were best placed during their working lives were people in the public sector, BBC workers, nurses, doctors, police officers and so on, who get a good pension through their work. In the private sector, there was much less of that, particularly among small businesses. I run a small business, and I'll be honest with you, we don't offer a pension to our staff because it's very expensive. Well, the government is saying that by early 2017, every single employee will have to be offered a workplace pension by their employer.
No matter how big or small?
No matter how big or small. There are some very, very small exceptions for very young people or very low income, but pretty much everybody will have to be offered a pension by their employer. And this, the really good bit, Emma, is, you know, I've said to you before that £1 going into a pension becomes £1.25 overnight. Half of your listeners don't believe me,
yep.
But it's true. Well, in this case, because of the employer's contribution and the tax relief you get on it, £1 going into a pension under the new scheme will become £2 overnight.
100%?
Yes. So really, really great, at least, if not better. I mean, the government schemes are even better than that. But the basic scheme, the workplace pension, which is compulsory in all employers, £1 becomes £2 overnight.
If you didn't want it, if you'd already set up a pension that you were paying into, could you opt out of the auto-enrolment?
You could. You would be crazy to. There is just no circumstance I can think of, unless you intend to drop off the perch tomorrow, there's no reason why you wouldn't put that kind of money away, £1 becoming £2 overnight, particularly if you spend the money you spend right now and you'll need some after you've retired.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Emma, 30, 40 years ago, I remember clients saying to me, when I began work, my parents made me sign up for the work pension. They made me sign up for the pension with a man from the Pru who knocked on our door.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen nowadays. And so, although lots of your listeners are retired, I think they need to be also people who are talking to their children and their grandchildren and saying, come on, get your money into these things. Don't, for goodness sake, opt out. It's difficult to do, but don't do it because it's good for you.
If you're an employer listening to this, you've probably put your head in that bucket of sand as well and thought, oh my goodness, you know, times are tough as it is, let alone being forced to set up a pension scheme. You've got some, you're going to have to do it. You haven't got one now, you're going to have to do it.
That's absolutely true. And one of the reasons that we've held back is because we know it's coming. And lots of firms locally who we've advised on this have held back just to see exactly what the format is required by the government. But yeah, I'm afraid to say in these straitened times, some of the smaller employers, I walk around Somerset and I walk past a garage or a small employer, I hear your silky tones coming from a radio in their places. And those small employers are going to have to set up a work-based pension.
Yeah.
There are various choices to make. The advice is it takes about 18 months to get it ready. It's not a small thing to do. It will cost the employer, well, at least 4% of your wage bill.
Yeah.
So that's quite a big uplift. And I guess you can only think of it as potentially as a headache. Good employers will consider it to be an opportunity to give something to their employees. They may even decide to give more. It's a way of retaining good staff.
Yeah, and but when you're advertising for jobs as well,
yeah.
You know, that shows that you're a good employer.
And are you going to offer just the very basic scheme that the government insists that you offer, or actually can you differentiate yourself from your competitors by offering a really good scheme which good employees might come to? But yes, there is a headache there. There is work to be done. And any of the employers who are burying their heads in the sand, there are massive fines if they don't do it. So please, but get your head out of the sand and seek advice about how to do this.
Okay, let's talk about those people that either are just about to retire, about to sort of, you know, see their pension come to fruition, or maybe in retirement and are managing their pension right now. So if you've been good and you've been saving in a pension, whether it's workplace or a private pension or whatever, when it comes to retirement, what are your options?
Yes, well, they're much more broad than they used to be. Back in the day, people got to retirement and they took their pot of money and they bought an annuity.
Yep.
And that annuity is a contract to give you an income for life. So if you drop off the hook the following day, you've lost that gamble, and that money that you've given away to an annuity firm is theirs.
But if you live for 100 years,
you're a winner.
Yes.
Yes, which pretty much is the way life works, isn't it?
Well, we're all living longer.
Yeah, so. Indeed. So we all want to live a long time for lots of reasons. One of them is to get the most out of your pension annuity. One of the other issues that's emerging at the moment in the credit crunch era is that when your pension fund is at its biggest is in the final few years before you retire. So you'd hopefully have 10, 20, 50, £100,000 or more in a pension pot when you're 55 years old or 60 years old. You've got lots of money there. What happens if something happens to the stock market or the property market and your pension fund loses lots of money? Back in the day, what pension firms used to do and still do to an extent is what's known as lifestyling, which to me sounds like ladies who lunch. But it's taking a chunk of that money out of the fluctuating up and down investments and putting it in safe cash, a fifth of it every year for the last 5 years. Your money is safe in cash. You can't lose. The trouble is that now in the credit crunch era, bank cash base rates are so low that after bank charges, you actually definitely lose money even in cash. And for 5 years, the biggest time your pot's at its greatest, it's losing money. The alternative is you don't lifestyle, you leave it in fluctuating, you know, stocks and shares and property and what pensions are usually invested in, and you run the risk of money it falling in value dramatically in your final year, which you don't want. So there are lots of options there which are perhaps different from what they were 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There are other schemes out there now which can offer you a guarantee but will allow you still to benefit from the gains in like property and stocks and shares. So again, when you're at and around retirement, it's vital when your pension pot is so big, at its biggest, that you seek advice to ensure you're doing the right thing with it. You make a mistake at that point and you've sometimes locked in your mistakes for the rest of your life.
What about people who have, we've talked about this on the phone in before, two or three old pensions hanging about that they've just, you know, just either stopped or they just sat there and whatever. Should they be reviewing that situation?
Yeah, just like the frog in your throat earlier on, mm-hmm. people don't leap out of bed in the morning and go, yippee, I'm going to review my pensions. Mm-hmm. They refer to them as frozen.
Yeah.
They're some dusty old scheme from when they were 20 years old.
I've got one of them.
Yeah, and it's in a drawer somewhere. You get the annual statement,
yep.
Maybe, if they've still tracked
no,
them when,
I get
you've,
it.
When you've moved house.
Yep.
Or even one piece of paper from 20 years ago that you've got. Those schemes are very often, obviously they're old. They're old schemes. They can have quite high charging like old schemes used to. They can be quite poorly invested. Lots of them are in with-profits funds which are giving no bonuses whatsoever. It's really vital to get those out, dust them off. I always say to my clients, fill your carrier bags full of paperwork, dump the carrier bags on my desk, let me go through them, and I will then see whether or not they're good where they are or it's worth consolidating into one scheme. And the outcome of those investigations, sometimes it's worth staying where you are because there are some old guarantees. Sometimes it's worth putting it in one pot. But what it's definitely worth doing is always looking. Most advisors will say, I'll have a look at that for you, see if I can make changes that benefit you without costing anything unless we make those changes. It should cost nothing if you find a good advisor to have a look.
And how much should we be setting aside? Is there a golden rule?
I have all kinds of complicated computer software programs to work that out, and by all means come and see me, Emma, and I'll talk you through that, and the same goes for your listeners. Being slightly flippant, I used to say back in the day to my clients, think of how much you can afford and then double it. You're not spending money in a pension, Emma, you're saving money. Think about, could you live with no income at retirement? No, you couldn't. So do something about your pensions. There's an amazing statistic about compound growth, which means how long you save for. If you save for, if you get to age around my age, around 40, let's say, and you start to save for retirement, or if you start when you're earlier, let's say 20, well, if you went on till age 60, I'm saving from age 20 to age 60, or from age 40 to age 60, the person who starts at age 40 will have nearly a quarter of what the person starting at age 20 does, because the growth on the growth on the growth on the growth makes a really big difference. So how much should you put into pension? I don't want to answer that question, really, because it depends on your age and what you earn and what you want to earn at retirement. But what you shouldn't do is bury your head in the sands. It shouldn't be too difficult or costly to get an answer to that question.
There'll be people listening this morning saying, I don't trust pensions, I'm putting all my money into property. What would you say?
Well, property is an asset, so it's a kind of investment, whereas a pension is a tax status. So if you really think that property is where the growth is in the future, and all of the facts say historically that's not the case, but if that's what you felt, then you can have your money in property, but you can do it via pensions and you can get that wonderful uplift from £1 to £1.25 overnight. In fact, where long-term growth has been better is stocks and shares. If you look at the last 10 years, for example, stocks and shares are up 130%. Property is up 30%. So you'd have almost, you know, double your money in property. And over the long period, over a century, this not quite as extreme as that, but stocks and shares tend to be a better returning asset than property. Property should be a part of your pension planning, as should stocks and shares and government gilts. You should have your money spread. If you spread your money widely, eggs in different baskets, you reduce the risk. If it's all in property, then in the last two or three years, it's down 20-30%, then so is your pension. And that is a risky thing to do.
We're in the middle of Money May with Dave Penny talking pensions. Coming up next, where you can get advice. searchers, and don't throw your love away on BBC Somerset. You're listening to the Emma Britton Show. Travel and weather on the way in a few minutes. It's almost 11:30. We're in the middle of Money May. We do this every May here on the Emma Britton Show. Once a week, you'll be getting some top tips on how to manage your money from our resident money man, Dave Penny. He knows lots about money. Lots and lots. So, Dave, we've talked about pensions today. It's quite complicated, the whole pensions thing, isn't it? And sometimes people just don't know where to start, so then they just don't bother. This whole business of getting advice, what should people do? Do they have to pay for it? Should they get it from the government? What should they do?
Well, the good news is that in recent years, the government has gone online, I guess you could say, and they've introduced some initiatives, which means that if you want to avoid nasty financial advisors, then you can get quite a lot of information online. You've seen the adverts on TV, the Money Advice Service, .org.uk, which is with no advertisements, no axe to grind. It's a government education site, and it's pretty good. It's quite comprehensive. It's got
That's high praise coming from you.
It's got calculators on there, so you can put in your income, what you'd like to receive in retirement, what your age is, what your target age for retirement is, and it'll tell you what it thinks you might need to save. It's quite basic, and sometimes you can see that the information coming out scares the pants off people because it's such a high figure that you need to save. Nonetheless, good place to go and have a look. There's also the Pensions Advisory Service, .org.uk, which is a similar government-sponsored service. There's a phone number for them, which is 0845 601 2923. They can be quite useful. Some folks have lost pensions. I used to have a pension when I worked back along. Oh, goodness me, I don't know where it is. I've moved house six times since then. If you go on to there's the Pensions Tracing Service.
Okay.
So it's not gone forever. You find that through the government site, .gov.uk, simply www.gov.uk, put the words in, lost pension, and it'll take you through to a pension tracing service.
People like that make me grumpy, though. For goodness blimmin' sake, get yourself organised. I hate that. Like, there's no excuses. You wouldn't forget to tell your, I don't know, your doctor that you'd moved, or your mortgage company. It's like, get organised. Oh, it's just
well,
grumpy.
Emma, I was going through the paperwork, the carrier bags paperwork for a farmer years back, and I was flicking through, checking all the numbers, and one of the numbers was changed.
Yeah.
And we phoned the company, and we found a £105,000 pension pot.
They didn't know he had.
Didn't know he had. No. He wasn't a wealthy man, but farmers have lots of money coming.
Yes, now.
Yes.
Okay. And if people choose to use an advisor like you, there's this thing now that advisors charge, and I think people get worried then that they're going to charge huge amounts of money for financial advice, particularly now they can't go to their bank or building society to get it for free.
That is a big anxiety. Recent figures have shown actually there are more inquiries from unbiased.co.uk who refer on to financial advisors, but certainly our promise is that we charge nothing until we can show a client we can benefit them. So if it takes 2 hours to talk to someone and establish their details, then if we think we can help and the client wants us to, then we'll talk about how we help. But only will we ever charge if we can show we will benefit someone.
I suppose the thing is to ask, isn't it?
Yes.
Ask. Next week, we're going to talk about property. We mentioned it there with people wanting to put, you know, their future funds into property. There's also been in the news about interest-only mortgages as well. Can you ever be too old to get yourself a mortgage? Should you be having a mortgage in later life? Dave says, an English person's home is their castle, or is it? We're talking property next week, Dave, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Thank you, Dave Penny. We're in the Money May. Every week in May, we'll be getting you some top financial advice.